This podcast is brought to you by Bud Light Seltzer. It is unquestionably good, and I'm going to go downstairs and have one right now.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's time for... I looked at the wrong place. Hey, what's up, everybody? It's time for another episode of the Bill...
Bert.
Pod.
Cast. I might start drinking, Bill. I might start drinking. I'm back on the hooch.
Hey, what about I got my light. I got the whole thing. I'm using my wife's setup here.
You look good. Are you still at your friend's house?
No.
Okay.
I'm gone. I'm back. I'm done.
Nice. First off, that fucking Toby Ngwigwe.
Ngwigwe.
Whatever.
Ngwigwe. There we go.
He is fucking awesome, dude.
I'm
in Houston. Hold on. I'm in Houston. I'm putting this out there because, you know, he put a clip of us talking about him on his Instagram stories. So I'm on set and this guy comes up to me, he goes, "Yo, man, you and Bill fuck with Toby?" And I was like, "What?" And he's like, "You and Bill fuck with Toby?" And I was like, "I have no idea what you're talking about." And he's like, "Toby Ngwigwe or whatever." And I went, Oh yeah. Bill talked about him. And he's like, "Man, he is awesome." He goes, "He put your clip on his Instagram." And I went, "Oh, for real?" So I find him, I go to his clip, and then I just start scrolling. You know, I haven't listened to his music since you said it. I haven't done any of that. I'm scrolling and I hear this song, Eat, with his wife, Fat. His wife's name's Fat, right? And I am internet smart about this. I just watched a few videos, okay?
So yeah, like, I just did a gig with him. That's what is funny to me is this 52-year-old guy, all of a sudden I know the next dude coming up in, is it hip hop or rap? I don't know. I'm so white. I have no idea. Dude, I just downloaded the Car's Greatest Hits. That's where I'm at.
So I'm in Houston, October 16th. I'm going to invite him and his wife to come see my show. I am obsessed. This song, Eat, that he does with his wife is so badass. I'm sitting on set. I can't stop listening to it. It is all his. I bought everything he has on iTunes. I bought it all. And I'm listening to that specifically. Bill, I walked up to Snoop Dogg. I had that Eat on. I go, "Hey, man, I know this happens to you all the time. I got to fucking do this. Have you seen this?" And he goes, "Oh," he looks at me, he goes, "That dude's dope as fuck." And I was like, "Yes." I go, Bill Burr turned me on to him. And Snoop's like, "Bill Burr turned you on to him?"
No. Dave Chappelle. It was Dave Chappelle. We were just doing a gig. Don't set me up like that, man.
I'm still listening
to Biggie. I don't know anything that's going on.
So I'm with Snoop, right? And I'm like, "Oh, man." I go, "You got to go to Chappelle's summer camp." Snoop's like, "What is it?" And I go, "Dude, Bill went out there. It's fucking amazing." I go, "Snoop." So I get, now we're in a, me and Snoop are in a trailer with Cody Rhodes, right? We're all sitting in the trailer, Snoop smoking a blunt. We're drinking a little bit of wine. And I fucking FaceTime Donnell, right?
He was living their best life during COVID.
No shit, right? So I FaceTime Donnell and I'm like, "Yo, Donnell, take a look at this." And I flip my phone around and it's Snoop, right? You know, Donnell is never someone that just has a mild reaction to anything. Donnell goes fucking crazy and he's like, "Yo, Chappelle," flips the phone around to Chappelle. Now the phone's back on me, right? Chappelle's looking at me, never met me in his life. And he's like, "Who the fuck is this?" And I'm like, I'm like, "Hi, Dave, it's Bert Kreischer. I think I know what you want to see." Flip it to Snoop. Snoop sees it and is like, "What's up, Dave?" Dave's like, "Snoop." Dude, it was all based off Toby Ngwigwe because I...
Now you got me forgetting how to say his name. I don't know how to fucking say his name. It's Ngwigwe.
Ngwigwe.
No, Ngwigwe. I can't remember.
Anyway, Toby. and so then Snoop's like, Chappelle's like...
"There's so many celebrities in this, Bert. You've lost me."
He's like,
"Are you at the Playboy Mansion 30 years ago? What is going on here? You guys all in a pool with fucking towels on?"
They're talking about Snoop coming out and hanging out and shooting the shit. And Snoop's like, "Man, I'd like that." And Dave's like, "You got to do it." And you know me, I'm in the background, Bill, on this FaceTime going, "Hey, are we all invited? I want to come.
Why do you do that, Bert?
I can't help it. But I got to say, man.
Bert. If there's any celebrity shit going on, this is Bert. Hey, I just want to say, if we could just do this really quick, I'm a big fan of yours.
Bill, you have that so accurate.
I know, because I watched you do it with Sandler, man. I was like cringing for you.
Bill, take a look at this picture. Chappelle and Donnell, and then look at me behind Snoop.
Oh, Jesus. You know what we need to do with you, Bert? You got to work on your fucking swagger.
I have none, Bill.
You have to learn to let shit come to you. You're like a baby possum just clinging to the fucking thing walking down the street. You're in this business. You're selling tickets. You're a fun guy. People love you. Just relax. Look what you're doing right now. Just have your arm like that. That's great energy. Whatever you want to come to you, it's going to come to you. If it doesn't, who gives a fuck?
Oh, it was so...
What are you, 53 years old? You're still sticking your head into a goddamn selfie? What's wrong with you?
Mid-40s.
I know. I'm fucking with you.
It was so great. But, man, I tell you, you turning me on to that guy has made this quarantine, this bubble that I'm living in, so fucking enjoyable. Because I love that dude's music. I'm listening.
What about that giant vibrator you appear to be talking into?
Oh, that's
that
my
from NASA?
That's my snowball. It's my mic.
Oh, I knew it was a microphone. Yeah. I didn't think it was actually a vibrator.
it was great, man. That guy's music's badass. I'm glad you fucking.
Dude, I want to go. Dave Chappelle turned you onto that. I didn't know any. I went to that thing. There was all this cool stuff going on that I got dropped into. And because I was there, that is so funny that Snoop thinks that, like, I'm this fucking, like, not only, like, know who everybody is out there in hip hop, that I am on, like, the cutting edge now. I just, you know, I don't know.
He said about you, he goes, oh, I love Bill. He goes, man, me and Bill hung out, and we knew the Wrangler jeans commercial. I was like, what?
I know. That blew my mind. I did a podcast with him, and we started singing it. It turns out we watched the exact same TV. The deeper cut than that was Run, Joey, Run, which was a dog. It's about a stray German shepherd. And I don't know, the dog catcher, somebody was always trying. It was like the Hulk, except it was a German shepherd. Like every fucking episode, he had to leave town. And yeah. I swear to God, like the theme song was just like, run, Joey, run, Joey, run, Joey, run, Joey, run. I love dogs. I used to watch it. And he's the only other person that I ever met that watched it, remembered it, could sing it. He does a podcast, obviously, in one of those episodes. That was it. Yeah. He did a Wrangler song.
You know what's interesting is I don't think I have very much diversity in my life growing up, but when you start hang,
you're going deep now, Bert. All of a sudden, I feel like I'm on an award show. You can apologize for not having more people of color on your podcast. Did I just lose my spot here?
No.
You know, redheads are an unrecognized minority. If I could just argue for my position here in this podcast.
What's interesting is
stop smoking blunts with rappers. I want to keep doing this with you.
What's interesting is you forget how many shared experiences.
No wigway.
What is it?
No wigway. Toby, no wigway. No. There's no wig. No way. You got me all fucked up now. All right, go ahead.
You forget how many shared experiences we had when we were kids. That you know what's cool about being us, being our age, is that we all only had three channels.
Examinations.
No, we only had three channels. So all our shared experiences were fucking similar. Everyone was very, very familiar with Howard Cosell. Everyone.
What about a camera up your ass?
What's that?
You can't do that in your 20s. If you go to the doctor and say, hey, can you shove a camera up my ass and look around in your 20s, you're some sort of weirdo. But in your 40s and 50s, it's just considered maintenance.
Yeah. Wait, have you had that done yet?
Yeah. Colonoscopy.
I haven't had it done yet. You get it done when you're 50?
When did I do it? Yeah, I think 50. Well, they changed the game. They said they used to be 50, then they said 45, and now they're saying like 40 or whatever. That kid from Black Panther just passed away from it.
Dude.
Yeah, dude, you got to have the Jacques Cousteau crew go up, the old a-hole.
I haven't
it's
had that
easy
done
procedure.
Yet. Really?
They just drug you, and you go like this, and then and it feels like 2 seconds later, like, oh, we didn't find anything. Wait,
you were sound asleep?
Yes! Jesus Christ. They're like just snaking this thing up me? Because I'm like, ah! How many more feet? Dude, if that was the deal, I never would have gone. I would have said, fuck it, man. I'm going to roll the dice.
You're awake for that? Oh, God. Yeah. No. No.
Too many guys in here. There's too many guys. I need more nurses.
Who's putting their fingers in my mouth? Stop it. Stop it.
You know what? You know what's funny is there's going to be, by the kids in their 20s, by the time they get to their 50s, there's going to be a less evasive way to do that, I bet.
Oh, I'm sure.
And this is like, but I got to tell you, it's as like, you know, the only thing worse than having to go down and do that is dying of it. So, yeah. I mean, that's the game. So, yeah.
God, that's funny. I didn't even think about it. Of course you'd be out for that. Who's going to be awake for that?
Dude, that's hardcore. That takes like NHL playoffs when they'd stitch you up on the bench. That's the, oh yeah, I had a whole camera crew go up my ass.
Wait, were you sore the next day?
No. They're trying to make sure you're okay. They're not trying to do damage. They weren't trying to beat it up then.
You're not. You like couldn't. You're like weren't walking around like you just got off a horse ride. You're like, God damn it.
It was actually sort of terrifying. That unless I knew what I was there for, I would have had no idea what happened.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
You probably do it. I mean, you got kids or whatever. But, Bert, you know, whatever. If you want to roll the dice.
No, I'm going to get it done. I got to get a whole full checkup. I got to get the I'm going back to get another CT scan. It's been like 5 years since I got my last CT scan.
Oh, yeah. You just look for any aneurysms, anything. Yeah. How long is the full body? How long are you in that thing for? Then you're radiating yourself.
Yeah. I think
the old like weight to horsepower in racing. You put a bigger engine in, it's got more power, but now it weighs more. I do the whole CTE. You can see if there's anything there. Now you don't see anything. Now I know. But then I just fucking radiated my whole body.
Yeah.
Of course.
I do that. I got to do that when I get back from this trip. And then, I'm not looking for the only saving grace about that. And all that stuff gives me anxiety.
The part about the colonoscopy is the stuff you have to drink like 24 hours before. I just remember you were drinking this stuff that, you know, it just doesn't taste good. It cleans you out. You know what I mean? So then they can just go in and do what they have to do, you know, and not try to weave around all the mistakes you made at the Waffle House, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. I'm getting my
heart checked out in October.
Are you really?
Yeah.
What are you getting?
I've just had too many friends, you know, die of it or whatever. But I fortunately, you know, I have good genes. I think so. And I've eaten pretty well. But, you know, I went pretty hard with the booze and the sticks over the last 10 years. But now my biggest vice, Bert, is like once every 4 days, I'm up late with my wife and we're watching Cobra Kai, which is the greatest reboot of all fucking time. I absolutely, really? Oh my God, I cannot say enough good things about it.
Really?
It is fucking, it is the shit.
Really?
It's just, it's like, it's edgier. It makes fun of itself. It's making great points. It can be ridiculous. It's just fucking amazing. It's fucking amazing. I cannot say enough good things about it. I mean, I just blew through the whole first season. We had to literally put a governor on it. I'm only watching two episodes at a time. It started off on YouTube.
Yeah, that's what
I'm hearing this buzz going, no, dude, I'm telling you, this thing is really good. And I'm like, YouTube series? You know, I go on YouTube to watch animals fight each other. That's what I do. Watching this bobcat going after a fucking mink or some shit the other day. For half a second, I thought the mink was going to fight him off. But anyway, so I didn't watch it. But then it made the jump to, like, Netflix. It's the number one streaming show right now in the United States on Netflix. And I guess it's gonna go to season three, I think. Let me see here.
It should. I just saw that it was trending number one on Netflix the other day.
Dude, the guy, William Zabka, who always played the bad guy. Screw you, Melon. He's like my favorite character on TV right now. First of all, he fucking says everything. Other than his feelings about immigrants. I don't give a shit about immigrants. But other than that, he just talks how everybody talked when I was growing up.
Yeah.
You know, go a dick or everyone's going to think you're a pussy. Like, he just fucking talks like that. And I just find myself watching his character going, yes. Yes.
Is Brett Ernst in that?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, dude, he's great. Brett Ernst really? Is great in that. Yeah. He's fucking really, really funny and a really, like, natural actor, and I was very excited, and like, it's just one of those things, like, you know, when your buddy's in something and you see him standing next to, you know, Ralph Macchio, like, doing a scene, and I'm just like, I just got so excited, like, I can't believe, you know, Brett's in this scene with Ralph Macchio. I don't know, it's, I don't want to ruin it for anybody, but it's like, I don't know when you can talk about it. That's what sucks about streaming now. It's just like, when can you fucking talk? Can you just watch it so I have somebody to talk about it with?
So wait, I just texted Brett. I was like, dude, fucking congrats. Can you Zoom? Hey, what's the premise of the show? I saw the beginning. I saw it on YouTube.
It's so fucking great. I don't want to ruin it.
Really?
I don't want to ruin it. If you have him come on, like, all these people who haven't watched it, we're going to fucking ruin it for him. But it's like, dude, it's the best reboot I've seen where, you know, how they did it. It's where those two guys are in their lives now.
All right. Hey, send Brett a link. I want to hang on. Can you send me a link? And I'll just send Brett this link, correct?
Bert, what are we going to talk to? We're going to talk to him about this great show that nobody can talk about?
No, let me tell you something, Bill. Copy. We're going to have him hop on for a couple seconds.
You have faith in your own celebrity. Look at you. You're fucking texting Chappelle. You're hanging with Snoop. Now you're calling Brett Ernst. I mean, aren't I enough?
You are enough, Bill.
I don't feel I am.
You're more than enough.
I just got done reading this book, this self-help book called I Am Enough. And now you're undoing everything that I just read. I have my hand in my chest showing that you're getting into my feelings.
I saw Cobra Kai on YouTube. This is how shallow I am. And I assumed, since it's on YouTube, it must not have a big buzz. Everyone must have passed on it.
That's what I thought. And apologies to YouTube. I could not have been more wrong. This is a first class fucking show. The writing on it is incredible.
Yeah. And then I kind of saw it and I overlooked it. And then, you know, Brett moved to Cleveland. Like, he moved out of L.A., and I was like, and how great is it to get out of fucking L.A. and then get a hit show?
It's even better when somebody doesn't say where you moved on a podcast. You know, me and Paul Verzey have this fucking...
Oh, shit. Brett Ernst.
Brett Ernst. Hey, Brett, you know Verzey, right?
Yeah, of course.
All right, me and Verzey have this running fucking joke. When we see somebody with a big mouth and we go, how long would this guy last in the mob? All right.
Okay.
I don't know how well you know Bert Kreischer, but how long would Bert, if you gave him any sort of pertinent information, how long would this man last in the mob before he got whacked?
All right. Here's the thing. I don't think he would rat. I give up pertinent information, but I do think that there would be enough signs to where he would get clipped anyways, just out of fear. that make any sense? Just as a safety precaution.
Well, listen, I did a total sidetrack there. I was just telling Bert how fucking, I just finished season one of Cobra Kai. And I just cannot say enough good things about it. It was such a great show. Me and my wife had to limit ourselves to 2 episodes a night so we could make it last. And I know there's a season 3. When is season 3? Are you allowed to say?
I heard rumors that it's going to be in November, but you know, who knows, man? You never know with this stuff, you know, the way they're put. But I know it's shot and in the can, that's for sure.
Oh, that's amazing.
So, Brett, we didn't want to hold you up, man. It looks like you're busy. Are you moving right now?
Yeah, it's actually just I just got in my place in Vegas, putting the I just picked out tile and paint and stuff, you know.
Oh, nice.
Just my bed, by you can see it.
That is a Vegas mattress if I ever saw one. There was a guy dressed up like Elvis who sold you that?
It's a pool float, man. And I couldn't find a blow-up mattress. I got in last night, but I'm coming back to Florida on Saturday. But anyways, it's all good, man.
We wanted you to hop on for a second because Bill was saying this literally is his favorite show he's ever seen.
My favorite show right now. Not ever seen.
Okay.
Okay, that would be Peter Gunn. Way back in 1960s.
So
happy days when Fonzie still had the Barracuda. Sorry.
When Richie had an older brother that just...
Yeah. You got the basketball scholarship, and then they disowned him. You never saw him again. I think it was George Mikan.
So, Brett, how did this work? It was on YouTube Originals at first.
Right.
And then did it get good downloads on YouTube?
Yeah, man. You know, it was, I don't want to say underground, but it was like one of the top rated shows of the year. It was like 2 years ago. I mean, people who watched it loved it. It was just, you know, it didn't get that mainstream burn, but we had like a nice little underground following. And basically, from what I heard, there was a little bit of a bidding war, but I think YouTube had promised to do a whole season. And, you know, they didn't really put a marketing machine behind it, but it was still, you know, people still knew about it.
They lost, man. They screwed up because everybody I know who's watching it, it's just like this happy surprise. And I think even if you didn't, you know, you're not my age and you didn't grow up watching The Karate Kid, they do enough flashbacks. You know what's going on. It's just, I mean, it does help to obviously know the story, but I don't know. I'm so afraid to talk about it because I just loved all the choices they made with the characters and everything. I love that you were in it and everything. I just don't want to ruin it for anybody, but you know, ringing endorsement for this show, Cobra Kai.
Yeah, I signed an NDA, so I can't really tell any spoilers. Okay.
Tell me how to pronounce William's last name.
I kill everybody at the end of season 3, okay. So.
How do you pronounce William's last name? Zelka?
No, Zabka. Zabka.
Zabka. I'm the fucking worst. Dude, that guy's comedic timing.
It's
like a comedian just walking around shitting on a crowd. He's unbelievably funny.
And I'm not just saying this because, you know, I work with him and they're great guys. I'm not just saying this. And I got to tell you, it was a little surreal to, like that first scene when we're in the car dealership and they're face to face. That's like the first time they were ever face to face.
Dude, I was freaking out for you.
And I was looking at Dan Hood, you know, the guy who plays Anoush across from me, because he's a comic as well. And we're both
Dan,
like,
dude, I know Dan.
And we're like, what the fuck is going on here? Right? Like, it was just surreal. But, you know, Bill, this is the two things that obviously younger people don't know. But Billy only did comedies. I mean, you know, he was always the bad guy in like Back to School. And then Just One of the Boys. Remember when the chick dressed up like a dude? But the thing that was cool too, like with Ralph, you know, Ralph has worked with some of the greatest movie directors, from John Avildsen to Coppola. Mm-hmm. You know, there's so much history between the two of them. And it's, you know me, I like to talk. it's just amazing to hear the stories and you know, how long and how much work they put in the business. You know what I mean?
No, and I just so psyched because William Zabka used to always get but as much as he would get the roles and you know him, they never let him stretch out. It was always screw you, Melon, and blah, 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 blah. And just, you know, He got to do a lot in Karate Kid, but like I just felt like when you see what this guy can do, how underused he is. I mean, I already knew Ralph Macchio was great. I'm not trying to just make this, you know, all one guy. Like, I don't know, dude. Like, some of the shit he says, I mean, in the dojo, shitting on all those nerds. I mean, it was like watching a comic just tearing through a crowd. I was, dude, I was saying, I find myself half the shit he says, I'm yelling yes at the, at the TV.
Dude, you know what else is crazy, dude? And again, man, you know me, I'm not going to say it. He's a bad motherfucker, dude. Like, you know, he's a real black belt. Like, that dude, he's a tough kid, man. Like, he's a tough dude, bro.
Yeah, no, I you know, when I watched his interview, I kind of saw that. I was like, yeah, this guy is, and I like, too, he's still in great shape. He still looks good. You know, for an old guy like me, it's great to see.
Gives you hope.
It is. It gives you hope. Yeah, like, all right, man, if you keep fucking working out, you can you can hold it together.
Nah, it was pretty cool, man. You know what was really cool too is seeing John Kreese. You know, because people he was the helicopter pilot in Predator.
Oh, yep. Is that right?
Yeah.
Now is he? I'm the worst with names. Was he the Cobra Kai teacher?
Yeah. Dojo.
Oh yeah.
You know what I mean?
Okay. Yeah, yeah. Let's not talk too much because I don't want to give away anything.
John Kreese lives like 3 blocks from my house. And one day I see him.
Why are you always saying where people live on this?
No one knows where I live.
There's crazy people out there.
And I saw him one day walking out of his front door and I lost my shit. I was riding my bike with my girls. I was like, oh shit. Oh shit. I go, that's John Kreese. And they're like, who is that? And I go, you have no idea. Oh my God. Oh my, I was like losing my shit.
Dude, you know, it's mostly comics. We always lose our, we've all experienced seeing actors in Hollywood. The only time I've ever really marked out or like was seeing Rowdy Roddy Piper, you know? And I saw Kreese. I'm like, holy shit. You know, that's, it's like people that most people wouldn't really give a shit about is the ones that, you know, like that they, like people always ask, do you see anybody like really famous? You know, when you get out of Hollywood. I'm like, yeah, dude. I saw the pilot from Iron Eagle. You know, like,
I know, that's always way better. It's always way better than seeing the A-list guy is the guy that just you like.
Uh-huh.
Like, I don't know the actor's name, but my favorite guy in Goodfellas is the guy who owns the restaurant. When he goes in to Pauly and asks him to fucking what's his face? Whacked.
Yeah.
I don't know, I'm just saying, you know, wouldn't be a bad idea.
Yeah.
Fucking his performance in that. And then Johnny Roast Beef. It's in my mother's name. I'm sorry. The way he was doing that, he just looked like such.
Dude.
It's so funny to play that like dim-witted is so, you gotta be so smart to be able to do it to fucking make it believable.
I always
love those the smaller people in it. So that's
you know who I love? Did you ever see Out for Justice with Steven Seagal?
I'm sure I did. Those
when he played the cop in Brooklyn and they killed it. Anybody see Richie? Anybody know why he killed Bobby Lupo?
Yeah.
Where he's in the pool hall, right? And he's beating the shit out of people with a pool ball. And then he leaves. And then the mob comes. And the guy, Richie's brother, has got a fucked up nose. But he, you know, he's not talking. And the mob guy goes, hey, Rusty, you know, grab him. And that guy, Rusty, he's like, come here, you cocksucker motherfucker. And he grabs him by the nose. I fucking love that guy. And then I also love the old man in Braveheart, the one that, you know, the father.
Yeah.
The one that fights everybody. He pulls the fucking arrow out and the kids are afraid to, like, those are the characters I love in the movies, bro.
How about that Irish actor that's got two slit? He was in Braveheart. He's got two slices on his face.
Yeah, and he was.
Anytime he shows up, I'm like, that's a bad bitch.
He's in Sons of Anarchy too. I saw him at Happy Endings.
Hey, how about the big chicken over the edge when she runs by with the globe and she yells at the cop, "Eat it, you stinking pig!"
Yeah, you stinking pig. That's Matt Dillon. A lot of people don't know about that movie.
Yeah, but yeah, that's Matt Dillon movie. But like, "Eat it, you stinking pig" is one of my favorite. We got to keep this movie PG. Because of course you'd be like, fuck you, you fucking cocksucker, but you stinking pig. One of the great lines in cinema history.
That's a great call, man. That's a great movie, Over the Edge, when they take over the middle school.
That's a great movie. That's of and, 70s drug use.
He's got the flag on the back of the fucking banana seat bike.
Which is the coolest thing ever. Yeah, that was like an Apollo 3 speed. You had the shifter in the middle. I mean, those things were badass. I had a fucking Beach Rambler with white wall tires. It wasn't enough that I had orange hair. Just every day coming out, just waiting to get a beating. Big Pee Wee Herman bike. It's for my paper route because sometimes it snows. Fucking loser. All right, as big a loser as I was, dude, this show is a winner. Look at that, Bert. That's called a fucking segue.
Good job, Bill.
I'm getting uncomfortable watching you fucking with no furniture here, not looking comfortable doing a podcast.
No, I'm fine, dude. Are you kidding me, man? I just, this takes
Wait, are you out of Cleveland now?
Yeah. I'm out of Ohio. I was in Florida for a minute and then just bought a place here.
That's awesome. Nice, man. Good deal. Yeah. Happy for you. Please come back on when season 3 comes out, all right?
You yeah, absolutely. Service.
I don't know who you're looking at over there. Is there somebody fucking with you already over there? Come here, you fucking cocksucker.
You know what? Dude, I can see it in the corner over here, like somebody's walking by. But I'm still, I'm not used to being here. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, yeah. My own thing.
Ceiling fan. Awesome. Once you get used to the ceiling fan, then you buy the Glock. Don't do it the other way around.
Actually, I'm just joking. Ralph Macchio. Hey, Ralph, come on. No, but listen, guys, I appreciate you reaching out, man. I'm glad you like it. And
congratulations, Brett. That's awesome, man.
Thanks, cuz.
I can't wait to watch it.
Yeah, and if anybody wants to follow me, go to Brett Comedy, Brett with one T, comedy.com, and you can check it out. Is that okay if I put that?
That's it. Absolutely.
Yeah, you got any dates coming up? You got any dates?
Nah, man. I mean, nothing. Nothing on the books right now. I just finished this weekend.
That was great. Nah, man. Nah. I
can sell out drive-ins like you guys, all right?
Hey, Bill's doing drive-ins now.
I'm doing a cow pasture in Connecticut. I'm not even lying.
Dude, can I open you, man, please? I need I'll fucking be out there. You kidding me? We'll put cows over in between
I'm
sets.
I'm hoping people on the East Coast have been wearing masks. By the East Coast, I mean the North, East. They seem to be wearing it. The infection rate was like down to like less than 1% over the month in New York. You know, it is what it is. So it is what it is. I don't want to get into all of that shit. But if people could do that out there, hopefully they do it on the West Coast. We can do something.
Yeah.
Because there's no money out there, brother.
All right. Well, let's end that depressing note.
Yeah. You know, it was good talking to you, brother. Enjoy your barren apartment.
All right, guys. I'll see you later.
All right. Love you, brother. Take care.
Congrats.
Later.
Now we got to wait for him to hang up. Jesus Christ. This is taking forever. You got to be on the thing. You got to have his finger on the thing. That was hilarious.
This podcast is brought to you by Bud Light Seltzer. One of my favorite, drinks to have. Across the board, I love it because they got 3 great new flavors available in the Remix VP starting this September. Bill, it lowers your blood pressure. Do you know what flavor that is?
No, cranberry.
They got cranberry too. They got cranberry, pineapple, and also grapefruit. I love the taste of grapefruit.
Dude, I love grapefruit. Grapefruit and booze. Of course, the second I quit booze, they make like adult slush puppies. You remember slush puppies? Did they have those down in Florida?
Dude, the hottest chicks in Tampa would go in our school when I was a kid.
You for a slush puppy.
I remember wanting to get a slush puppy so bad. Slush puppies were next level. They were the upgrade to a Slurpee. Adults drank slush puppies, in my opinion.
So Bud Light Seltzer, yeah, it's literally you're like, I quit drinking at the wrong time. They never had shit like, I guess go ahead, read how great it is. So now you can, I love this, you can drink wine that doesn't make you fat. You can drink booze that lowers your blood pressure.
Oh, this is amazing. Well, grapefruit lowers your blood pressure. A lot of people on blood pressure medicine can't drink grapefruit also because grapefruit's good for you is the point. And these are refreshing seltzers with natural ingredients, no artificial flavors, 100 calories, less than a gram of sugar. And then they do that through their 5-step filtration process done for quality taste with a clean finish. And Bill, it has the familiar Bud Light easy drinking name.
Does it? You know what I feel like? I feel like a guy that played in the AFL before the NFL merger and nobody remembers my stats. I drank too. Go ahead.
Because a lot of times I think most of us are looking for an approachable brand in a wide hard seltzer category. You know what I mean?
I know exactly what you mean. I'm salivating over here.
Made with real cane sugar for a higher quality taste.
Of course it is.
Bud Light Seltzer is looking for their first ever chief meme officer. Because while they do have a delicious seltzer, they're
meme. A meme of me snorting cane sugar. Sorry, I'm a cane sugar fan.
Do you?
I'll dress like Tony Montana.
The job they're looking for, the responsibilities include taste testing the product, making hilarious memes, including verbal memes, and figuring out what rhymes with Bud Light Seltzer. Wait, yeah. Larry Bud. Oh, I was thinking Larry Bud Melman. Go to BudLightSeltzerNeedsMemes.com to apply. And if you want to try Bud Light Seltzer, get it delivered right to your door. Find a retailer near you at BudLight.com/BillBurt or pick it up at your local grocer, neighborhood grocer, convenience, or liquor store. Enjoy responsibly.
All right, here we go. All right, it's Manscaped, everyone. Do you have a moose near the caboose that needs to be tamed? I'm talking hairy, big, and needs some support.
Yes.
Thankfully, our sponsor today, Manscaped, has you covered to keep the hair looking nice and trimmed and feeling fully supported. Manscaped offers precision engineering tools for your family jewels. Baluga. Did you hear that? That's your moose asking for Manscaped. That sounds like an old Model T Ford to me. I don't think I said that right. We'll have to get somebody from Alaska to read this. The Manscaped engineering team just perfected the greatest ball hair trimmer ever created.
I just trimmed my balls with this in a toilet. I'll tell you why it's brilliant, Bill. Let me
get that image out of my head first.
They've got a little light on there. So inside a toilet is often very dark. So if you're trying to trim your balls in a toilet, it is dark. So it's a lot of guesswork. When you have that light, you can then highlight those hairs that need to be trimmed off. Bill, I figured out then why they have that light. It is genius.
I was picturing you like Tom Cruise in Top Gun when you didn't have the light when he was freaking out. Nah, it's no good. It's no good. He wouldn't engage. That's you with the ball hair thing without the light. All right. Okay. Plus, for a limited, where am I here? The premium lawnmower 3.1 is waterproof, includes an LED light that Bert Kreischer loves when he trims his nuts over the toilet in the dark, and is made with advanced skin-safe technology, which reduces nicks and cuts on your delicates. Ugh, there's nothing worse than a nick and cut on your ball bag. You can get this trimmer inside their Perfect Package 3.0, which includes the Manscaped Crop Preserver Ball Deodorant and Crop Reviver. Brings your balls back to life. Ball Toning Spray. Both super practical, and they smell great too. Plus, for a limited time, when you order the Perfect Package Kit, you get two free gifts, the Shed Travel Bag and the Manscaped Anti-Chafing Boxer Briefs. The Manscaped Anti-Chafing Cooling Boxer Briefs might be one of my favorite parts of the collection. Oh, they keep your nuts all cool there. After you trim them and then you wax them up with their fucking deodorant, you get a nice breeze going over them. The Manscaped Boxer Briefs have optimal temperature controller with their crop cooling technology while they keep... You get it, people. I'm not reading all of this shit. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code BillBurt at manscaped.com. Your balls will thank you. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code BillBurt, B-E-R-T, BillBurt at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use the code BillBurt. From the moose to the caboose, always use the right tools for the job.
Nice. This podcast is brought to you by Helix. Listen, are you not able to sleep because of today's politics or possibly your love life? Helix Sleep makes personalized mattresses right here in America and shipped straight to your door with free no-contact delivery and free returns and a 100-night sleep trial. Choose a mattress. Helix made a quiz that just takes 2 minutes to complete and matches your body type to your sleep preference to find you the perfect mattress for you. If you like a mattress that's really soft or firm, you sleep on your side or back or stomach, or you sleep really hot with Helix, there's a specific mattress for each and everyone's unique taste.
Hey, I love they have a mattress for people who fall asleep smoking? They should have like a giant ashtray in the middle of it.
You can go to the bathroom while you sleep in the middle of the night. I love Helix, but you don't need to take my word for it. Helix was awarded the number one best overall mattress pick of 2020 by GQ, Wired Magazine, and Apartment Therapy, a magazine that I just recently cut my subscription to. I can't wait to get back into. Just go to helixsleep.com/Bill Burt. Take their 2-minute quiz about sleep, and they'll match you to a customized mattress that will give you the best sleep of your life. They have a 10-year warranty, and you get to try it out for 100 nights risk-free. They'll even pick it up and give you a full refund if you don't love it, but you
Gross.
Will.
Whose job is that? What do? I retrieve mattresses that someone slept and fucked on for 100 nights. I bring it down to the bridge to the homeless people. Under the bridge of love, sleep on this cum mattress. Go ahead.
Right now, Helix is offering up to $200 off mattress orders for our listeners. Get up to $200 off at helixsleep.com/Bill Burt.
All right. And we got the last one here. It's my bookie. Hey, how the fuck you doing? A winning season returns at MyBookie. Winning season means doubling your first deposit. Winning season means free bets, insane props, and NFL Survivor Streets. At MyBookie, how the fuck you doing? Winning season means free entry into the $100,000 guaranteed super contest. During week one of the NFL season, play in MyBookie's $100,000 guaranteed super contest for free. It's easy. Pick 5 games against the spread each week. Earn points for wins and ties. Score the most points at the end of the season, and you win $25,000. Quarterly winners will take home $5,000, plus the top 750 scores shares $100,000 in cash prizes for free. Add more excitement to the games. I'm totally fucking playing this year. I got nothing better to do than put some money on football games. Add more excitement to the games you love with this epic season-long super contest. And don't forget, on Thursday, September 10th, the reigning Super Bowl 54 champions, your Kansas City Chiefs, kick off the NFL season as 10-point favorites over the Houston Texans. To celebrate their championship and the return of football, MyBookie is boosting the line to plus 54 for a limited time only. Use promo code Bill Burt to double your deposit and grab a free entry into the biggest online handicapping super contest on the net. I cannot wait to gamble on football and watch every snap.
Going right now to my bookie. So, Bill, you're telling me about the Connecticut show.
Wait, that was a good call getting him on.
That was a good call.
Never listen to me, dude. I'm antisocial. I feel safe with you.
Yeah. Can I just tell you, in my opinion, you're gonna roll your eyes at this. I love to see a guy like Brett have big success like that, be on the number one show on Netflix, because me and him have been struggling in this business for so fucking long. It makes me happy, and I love, and you know what, I know that.
Please don't make Brett success about yourself.
What?
Please don't make it about yourself. Please keep this on Brett.
I'm not.
Don't lean into his success.
What is great about me and him, Bill? No, but it's
what
cool.
Brett and I have gone through has been so hard.
It's cool when you know that people that you respect are enjoying the thing you're in. And so, like, for him, it's like good to share that you are obsessed with his show. That motherfucking that makes shit like that makes my day. So, and look, Brett just texted me. Love you guys. Thank you.
Absolutely. I understand. I'm such a fucking asshole that I don't understand. Like, you just basically explained to me that if you're on a hit show and two of your friends who you respect call up and say, good job, it makes you feel good. Like, what do you think of me?
No, that you're the one going, don't call him, Bert. You're so Hollywood. Don't call him.
What do you think of me that you feel like you had to explain that to me? I was already texting him saying it's fucking great and I loved it, you know?
Yeah. So wait, tell me about this Connecticut gig.
I don't know much about it other than that we sold tickets. I'm very happy about that. And that my agent went out and we checked it out when they had a band there to make sure that there wasn't this thing where, you know, because I've been offered shows where it's just like, okay, we're testing, you know, taking their temperature and then they come in, but then the crowd kind of does whatever it wants.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to be a part of that.
That's the norm out there right now.
If people want to fucking be idiots, I don't want to be a part of it. So, I mean, yep. You got your freedom to do it. I'm not saying, you know, I don't understand why people want to prolong this fucking thing. Why, and I blame CNN and Fox because they politicized this fucking thing and people are literally not listening to doctors. Do you think that'll happen in the future? Like, at what point will a colonoscopy be just a liberal thing to do?
That's a good premise.
I think it's just a conspiracy.
Cancer isn't real.
You got socialism up your ass and they got to vacuum it out. I'm a fucking full-blooded American. I got nothing up my ass but the burgers I ate.
Yeah, those shows, I haven't done Connecticut, but there is a way. There are people doing it right where you can go out, put on a show, which people want. People want to get out of the house. They want to go back to normal. But hey, I always looked at when I started doing these drive-ins, I looked at it as what would I want? And I personally would want the option to keep my car or wear a mask or have my own area. I didn't want to be – I did some clubs, and, man, it was a shit show in my opinion.
No. You don't want to – I'm not into that. I don't want to do that. But like everybody else, I have a mortgage and I have bills. So, I mean, I have to go out there and – you know, I also have to still be good at stand-up when this is over. And it's like anything else, you know, if you don't do it for an amount of time, you're going to stink. And I don't want to do that because it took me forever, you know, not to take away how much you and Brett struggled, but I also struggled.
Shut up.
I had my problems.
You did it. You came up on your own, though. Like, your success was, like, by yourself.
I told you, I'm antisocial, Bert. I do not do well in the group dynamic. There's a reason I chose stand-up. No, I...
Whose compliments meant the most to you when you started to do good things? What compliments did you get from people that meant a lot to you?
People that were the least like me.
Like who?
Black people, gay people, just knowing that I was reaching... you know, like there's like I knew I could make me and people of my ilk laugh.
Yeah.
Okay. But then when I got down to New York and it was all mixed up, you know, and I would do a show and some Puerto Rican kid would come up to me and say, "Hey, man, you're funny," or whatever. I know why. Because one summer, speaking of back to school, I saw at Great Woods, which I don't know what it's called now. It's an amphitheater in Mansfield, Massachusetts. I saw Rodney Dangerfield, and it was right after Back to School was a big hit, and he had this, you know, this big explosion again. This whole new generation. He had the bleach blonde, short hair, and Bob Nelson was opening up for him. Jiffy Jeff's gym. And I went and I saw him at Great Woods, and he fucking murdered. And I sat there going like, "Wow, man, that's amazing! I can't believe I just got to see this guy. This is incredible." And then, like 3 weeks later, I saw Eddie Murphy on the Raw tour. Came out in the purple suit, and the Weather Girls opened up, and with Eddie's crowd, it was a mixed crowd. And I remember I was like 18 years old and I was able to look at Rodney's all white crowd and look at Eddie's crowd. And like, I was like, Rodney was making people laugh and killing and everything, but Eddie is making everybody laugh. It was just something that stuck with me that that I felt like as like a litmus test to being truly funny, that you should try to go up in front of as many different people as possible. And it's why I did alt rooms. I did shows in gay clubs. I did the black rooms, uptown rooms, whatever the fuck they called them. I did Latino night a couple of times. And then, you know, it's, it really was just about getting past the nervousness of being like, oh, wow, I'm the only one of me that looks like this. Then after that, you know, if I really thought about my life, I worked in a warehouse with all kinds of different people and I made all of them laugh. So you just had to kind of get out of your head. It was like a fun exercise. So, yeah, I would say that. I would say when someone would come, you know, when I would do, you know, take the E train to the end, what I used to do, whose gig was that? Drew Frazier's gig, Manhattan Proper, which sounds like it's near Manhattan. It was about as far, it was closer to Long Island. You take the E all the way to the end, to like Jamaica, Queens, which I'm sure is all white now with hipsters and cupcake shops and artisan ice cream. But back in the day, like, I'll never forget, I got off the subway and it was like a whole other world. And I saw concern on people's face when they saw me. Like they wanted to help me get back on the train. Like, do you want to, you want to go across the platform and get out? Like, I would see, and like, it was funny, as you took the train out of there, out there, and it became less and less white, I would notice the side glances. You know, it's New York. You learn to just read people, and they're kind of like, what the fuck's with this white dude? When's he getting off?
Yeah.
He could have got off like five stops. I mean, I'm getting off here.
I mean,
he's black for me down that way. He's still going. And I'm just sitting there, you know, trying to look like I know how to fight and shit. And, yeah, and then I went out there, and it was like, it was always once you got in the venue, it was fun. It was fun. Getting to the venue, you know, what I always called was the second shift. You know what I mean? Like during the day, those neighborhoods are cool. That's all the first shift people waking up, trying to work their way out of the neighborhood. But there's something as the sun goes down, when the second shift comes out, the hustlers and all of that shit. I notice people stop walking on the sidewalks. They start walking down the middle of the street so nobody jumps out at you. It was all these fucking rules that I learned. That was like, you know, I don't know. It was definitely, and then going out there, going like, what in the fuck am I going to talk about out here? And then that's when you learn, like, oh, you know, people are sort of the same, yet can be really different and all of that shit. So I did the usual shit. I just, of course, in the beginning, I did the, oh, I'm the white guy and I'm afraid, which felt like totally selling out. Even though I was the white guy and I was afraid, I knew I was just doing what they wanted me to do.
Yeah.
And then it became like, well, can I just do what I want to do now? Now that I know how to be like, you know, Gina, where did all the white people go? Ah, everybody laughing. So yeah, I would say that.
That's interesting.
I remember doing a gay club with Patrice O'Neal. And it was fun. We were so new, we didn't know it was a gay club. What was it? I think it was called Fiddlesticks. Oh, he did that one by himself. I did one. What the fuck was it called? Dude, when I tell you, I was in this fucking place and I got there like an hour early because I was still working in a dental office, and where the gig was, it's like I had time to go home, but I could sit there for 2 seconds and eat a piece of celery and then driven down to the gig. Or I could go straight to the gig and be like fucking 45 minutes early. Queen of Hearts. It's called the Queen of Hearts. And it was a couple towns over from where I lived. And I went there. And I sat down at the bar. And I remember I had an Emerson College sweatshirt on. That's the college I was going to. So I remember I had that on. And because some guy made a comment. I remember I was sitting there. And this guy walked by. And he said something like, oh, that's my fantasy, or that's my dream. Something really forward. And I was like, what the fuck is with that guy? So then he goes down and sits down with this Rob Halford looking dude. So I'm just sitting there like a fucking idiot. And literally, like, the woman behind the bar has, like, the Katie Lang hair. And nothing is clocking. I mean, I knew those guys were gay, but, I mean, whatever, right? So finally, Karen Nooch, I think she booked it. Name from the past. She came walking in. She goes, "Hey, you here all right?" I said, "Yeah, you know, it's my day job or whatever. I just drove over." And I just said, you know, I was like, "Hey," I go, "those two guys down the end, they're a little happy." And she's just like, "What?" She didn't know what I was talking about. Because I felt uncomfortable that that guy hit on me, right?
Yeah.
You know, and I was just like, I said, "Those two guys down the end of the bar, they're a little happy." You know what I mean? And I remember she just looked at me. She goes, "Bill," she goes, "this is a gay bar. Everybody in here is a little happy." And then I looked around and I literally see, like, this lesbian with short haircut with, like, the tuxedo shirt thing. Yeah. I was just like, dude, I was so, like, sitting there. I remember I was so nervous when I first did stand up. Like, I would set the timer on my watch the second I got there. So that was already taken care of, my little digital watch to go. Yeah. So I could do my 5 minutes. I mean, like, an hour before I even went on. It was like all this OCD shit. So, dude, I was so, like, you know, you saw gay people, but I just didn't, I didn't put the whole thing together.
Yeah.
And then I went up there and I was freaked out. I was freaked out because my truck was out in front of this place and it was a couple towns over. And I was thinking, oh my God, one of my friends is going to drive by and gay, right? This is like, you know, the early 90s, you know. This is pre Will and Grace. So I ended up doing, I did okay. But Karen, like, hosted it and was great. And I should have done great because those clubs are always fun because, you know, they came out, they want to see a show, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, so. God, I have not thought about that. So then I remember Patrice did one called Fiddlesticks. I remember me and Dane just dying laughing. Just the name. And Patrice talking about the shit that he said when he was in there, you know, teasing him and having a good time. And of course he killed and they loved him and everything. And it was, those were such fucking fun days, man. It sucks because you're not making any money. But when you really think back, it was just so much fun because every night there was just like 40 new monumental questions that you had no answer for. Yeah. And you just had to go up there and just wrong, 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 right. I got one right. Wrong, wrong, bomb, bomb, bomb. And you just, it just, and the only, and then you had to be like, okay, I got that one thing right. And you could think of like two scenarios. Next time I'll try this, not knowing if it was right.
Yeah.
It's like behind this door, you know, there's always the pie to the face. And I just remember that. Like the first, I felt like, you know, 6 years of my career, 7-8 years of your career is just, it's just one impossible situation after another. And then you get a college agent and then there's the whole new, you know, we don't have a microphone. Is that going to be a problem? You know, did these people know there's going to be a show? Did anybody? Well, we hung up some flyers. It's like, they're eating lunch. Like all of that. Yeah, look at the pain in your face. I hope people.
God.
That is just like, I used to literally have to go somewhere mentally. I would just be like, all right, in an hour, this is going to be over. In my car, I'm going to have my check and I'll be driving away. And dude, whenever they show stand-ups in a movie, whatever, they always have you bombing in a club and there's like a microphone and a stage and there's lights and everything. And what sucks about that is it kind of puts it on the comic. It shows, which happens, it can be your fault, but the amount of times the bombings that you take when you're starting out, that it's not your fault. It's like Good Will Hunting. Hey, Will, it's not your fault.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, fuck, I'm plagiarizing something. This is why I don't watch people's acts. Somebody I know did a short film. Remember what I was saying? They did the Goodfellas thing?
Yeah, 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 yeah.
They made a short film about comics going up at a club. And this guy bomb. This guy, they did the Goodwill Hunting. This guy bombs, and then the other guy kills. And when he's on stage, before he kills, I'm going to fuck it up. But basically, this guy's going like, hey, man, it's not your fault. He goes, yeah, I know. I mean, yeah, I mean, there's a bachelorette party. It's, you know, not your fault. Yeah, I know. And then he goes, hey, I just haven't been getting good spots lately. He just totally fucking breaks down. It's funny as hell. See, dude, that's why I don't watch stand-up specials, because it just seeps in, man. I feel like embarrassed that just happened. So, yeah.
No, that happens. I did that one time. I was on stage, and I actually did it on television one time. I did this bit. The guy was talking about, we were doing like a morning radio, a television interview, and he said something about, you know, comedy's so great because it just brings people together, and there's so much distance between people. There, everyone's fighting. And I came up with a bit on the fly that was killer. And I got off, and someone emailed me that night, texted me or DM'd me that night, and was like, I'm pretty sure you just did a Louis C.K. bit verbatim. And I was like, no. And then he's like, I'm pretty certain that's a Louis C.K. bit. And as soon as he said that, I went, God damn it, man, I definitely, that came out way too quick, way too easy. Like, and I was like, son of a bitch, I think I might have. And I was like, and
as you get older too, dude, your short-term memory gets really bad. Yep. Like the first 30 years of your life is vivid. And then once you have kids and shit, it's just the light goes out and you can't remember. So like, if I'm watching people's acts and all that shit's floating around in somewhere there. I remember one time I did this, I just used a reference. And I was talking about, you know, this guy came up to me when I was in Tennessee and started saying all this racist shit. He was white, I was white, so he thought it was cool. And then this black dude came in, and it was this whole fucking bit on it. But at one point in the middle of it, I was like, I wanted to take that thing from the grocery store and slam it down, like between your food and my food. Like the racist shits, that's him. This is me. Oh, I am not with that. And I did this dude for a couple of months on the road. And then I got into Boston and I went on up at the old Comedy Connection. And as I did it, I was like, oh my God, that's Rich Seisler's reference. I saw him do it in this club. I had to be in the club.
Yeah.
And my heart sank. I was like, oh my God, I'm in Boston at the club where I saw it. Some Boston comic just saw it. I'm going to get labeled a thief. And it's just something happened. Rich Seisler, the late great Rich Seisler, did this bit where he was saying, when you go into a bar and you just want, you know, Boston guy, we just want to have a drink. You know what your drink is. And this fucking guy comes up and starts just jabbering at you and you don't want to talk to him. His reference was having that thing at the supermarket. We just set it down and then the person would shut up. I forget how he did it.
Yeah.
But like, and in the overlap, because like that guy came up to me at a bar. He was jabbering at me. I didn't want him to talk, but the whole thing was different. But that reference, where I went, I'm telling you, dude, like, that's why I really try. And, you know, people always, you know, I hate when I do radio. And I'm a huge fan of that guy. Oh, you see that latest special? And I'm like, no, I didn't. And then it makes it sound like I'm not a fan. But like, the thing is, I get to talk to you guys off stage.
Yeah.
And all the comics I know are just funny talking. So I don't need to like watch the act, because I don't want to see the material. Yeah, because like I said, because shit like that ends up happening.
I did a bit one time about needing my wife, like loving her, but I need her more than I love her. And all of a sudden, as I did it a couple times, and I was like, that doesn't, like, I sound something familiar. And I said the bit to my wife, and she was like, yeah, I don't know. And I go, I think
that Patrice?
Patrice had a bit like that. And my wife goes,
that's a Patrice-ism.
Yeah, it's a Patrice-ism. And my wife goes,
break down shit like that.
Yeah, and my wife was like, yeah, it's also in every self-help book you're ever going to read. So, like, she's like, it's, Patrice didn't coin the idea of wanting something or needing something versus loving something. She was like, that's, like, Deepak Chopra has that. Like, every self-help guru has that theory. And I was like, oh, yeah. And then I was like, oh, I can't do it as a bit, though. She was like, well, yeah, definitely don't do it as a bit. But she goes, listen, she goes, Patrice's brilliance ideas are also sometimes things broken people recognize about themselves that self-help gurus go, oh, this is also what's wrong with you.
Dude, I saw a clip of him today. It just came up, and it was him talking about that Radiohead song, Creep.
I just saw that the other day, too. Yeah,
I just saw that. And like, what I love watching, because everything is hilarious, but it's how little black and white people understand each other.
Yeah.
Patrice was fascinated that white people were gravitating towards self-loathing and pain, because the same way white people's image when I was growing up, black people always playing like muggers and pimps and all of that. That, you know, it was just like, oh, you go to college, you know, that all they were seeing was white kids in like cereal commercials with the square piece of toast with the square piece of butter, part of this complete breakfast. And it's just like, so when I was watching that, like, I was, of course, missing him and think it was funny, but it was just like, it's the weirdest thing. It's what makes this country so crazy, but it's also what makes comedy so fucking amazing. It's just those perspectives. And then the fact that someone like me would run into him. And yeah. Next thing you know, we're doing a gig about ready to go to try to answer 40 questions that we don't have the answer for. And the different way that people react to it. I remember one time he did a gig in Ireland and he went up on stage. This English comic told me, maybe it was in England. He goes, you know, it's like, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Patrice O'Neill. And he went on stage and they just saw him and they bursted out laughing, roared laughing. And Patrice got all psyched out, like, what the fuck is this? And then and then they laughed even harder. And then he goes, the fuck is this some N-word shit? Like, just laughing. And when they finally stopped laughing, the comic had to explain to him, it's like, Patrice is only a woman's name out here. So when they said Patrice, they thought it was going to be a woman and a white woman. And then a big black dude came out.
O'Neill. Patrice O'Neill.
And then Patrice, when he would get upset, his voice would go up in octaves.
Yeah.
What the fuck y'all at? Up there, which made him laugh even harder. And then he was in his head being like, whoa, did I just step into Mississippi Burning, the English version of this? Yeah. It's really fucking... I don't know. And the thing about it is you have those experiences, and I don't know if you've experienced this, but then when you go back home to your friends, you relate less to them, unless you keep the conversation like, you know, sports and blah, 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 blah. But if you start talking worldview, it's like, they had what you used to, like me before, like, oh my God, my truck's in front of a gay bar. People are going to think I'm gay. Oh, that guy's a little happy. Where my head was and where my world was.
Yeah.
To now, you know, if that happened, I mean, my age, I'd be flattered. You know what I mean? I would just laugh at that shit. That's also a thing too, why I think it's fucked up that people go back into people's histories. You know, when I see like how many times I've changed, how many fucking things that I thought I now look at and be like, that's stupid, or like, or you'll be like, man, I should have listened to myself. I should have listened to my gut. Cause like, I had this weird thing back then where I didn't know shit. And I also didn't listen to my gut. So I was just completely not connected to myself. So, but there is a lot of stuff, the things that I the way I looked at the world versus now, and you know, I mean, if there was like social media around when I was in my fucking 20s, stuff that I would have said, the stuff that I would have thought was funny, my worldview and all of that shit. You know, it's a weird thing. It's a hell of a standard to hold people up to. Were you a good person the entire time you were alive?
No.
Made any mistakes? Yes.
I got a text from the guy doing that documentary about the footage I might have about Patrice. And so I was sitting there and I was like, yeah, and in my head, I'm like, I definitely have it. I know I have it. And then I realized I may have footage of when we were in Scotland together, because I had a video camera and I was taping everything.
Please find it, because we're getting close to wrapping that thing up.
I know. Well, I told him, I'm here until for another like week, and then I'm home, and when I'm home I'll go in and look for it. But I had a camera, and I was I was a fan of Patrice for the world, right? Like, so, like, before everyone, before ONA, no ONA, like, just standing in front of the Boston, I was a fan of his. So to be, and I was such a young comic that anything he said or Voss was, like, really important to me. So, like, and so I have footage of him making, teaching me how to make an omelet, like, because he was, I like,
mean, dude, that's priceless. If you could get us that,
I gotta find this. I gotta, I am praying that I kept this tape with all these tapes, because there is, he taught me how to make an omelet and he said, you need to videotape this shit. And we did it like a cooking show. And it's funny. You say the little things, like, you know, I lived very, like, kind of sheltered life. And the more I hang out with people from different cultures and different types of people, the more you learn, like, little things that across the board apply to everyone. Like, I remember him and Donnell both seasoned the pan as opposed to the egg. They put butter on the pan and then put salt and pepper on that pan and seasoned the pan and then started making the omelet. And I remember going, like, I've never seen a chef at, like, making omelets at an omelet station in a hotel. Never once have I seen them butter the pan and season their pan.
I put butter.
What's that?
And then the egg. And then I season the eggs, though.
They both seasoned the pan. And I remember being like, I wish, yeah, I gotta go home and look for that footage, because I got a lot. I was a fan of Patrice's because I was a young comic, and so it's just me videotaping him the majority of the time.
Yeah, I'll say this last thing, and then I got to run because the kids are up here. I remember there was a few times he just did shit fucking with regular people walking down the street that was so goddamn funny that afterwards I would feel a little sad in the weirdest way, because I would be like, oh man, this guy is going to be so big and be so famous, because he was just so much funnier than everybody. Yeah, I got sad going, like, there's going to be a day he's not going to be able to stand out here. There's going to be a day people walk down, they're going to expect him to do it. And like this, like, I really tried to, like, take it in when he was doing it. I mean, just watching that guy go in to buy something and watching him back, you know, back then, before everything became corporate in New York and you could haggle for prices. Remember that shit? Anything you go in and buy at an electronics store?
Yeah.
Oh man, I'm not paying that. Come on, I'll give you 60. And it was fun. And just watching him do that, he used to just throw the money down on the counter and just be, I mean, that's what I got. And the guy would, no, my friend, I can't, blah, blah, blah. And it'd be like, he just would just point to it. I mean, he would have so much fun. It was like, afterwards, it's like, did you even want to buy that? Or did you just want to fuck with this guy? And I don't know. When I used to do that, it would feel like either he was one of those guys, he liked the praise but didn't like to hear it. He seemed like, I don't know, whatever. Just like, don't overanalyze it, Bill. Just fucking enjoy it. It's just like, but dude, you got to understand, like, what you're doing, that was like funnier than, there's like 10 writers working on a fucking show right now. It's not going to write anything as funny as that. And you just did that off the top of your head with a guy who didn't even know he was now on your show. So, all right, everybody.
That was a great podcast, Bill. Thanks. That was a fun one.
Yeah, absolutely was. Once again, I hope you guys enjoyed it. This is another wonderful episode of the Bill
Bert
Pod.
Ah.
Watch Cobra Kai.